Welcome to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity, a podcast about identity, healing, and honest conversations for those who feel deeply, think differently, and live uniquely. My name is Matt, and I'm glad you're here. So today, let's deep dive into something that's often misunderstood, but deeply significant. That's mirroring in autistic individuals. It isn't just mimicry or a quirky behavioral trait. It's actually a complex psychological, neurological, and emotional strategy that speaks volumes about the lived experience of autism in a neurotypical world. Mirroring, at its core, is the unconscious or conscious imitation of gestures, speech patterns, facial expressions, or even interests of another person in social interactions. Neurotypical people do it all the time. It's a form of subtle social bonding and empathy. But in autistic individuals, mirroring often takes on a very different role. It isn't just a way to bond, it's more of a lifeline. For autistic people, mirroring becomes a survival strategy. It's about camouflage, adaptation, and managing sensory and social overloads. This process is also known more clinically as social masking, and mirroring is one of its primary tools. So let's break it down neurologically and psychologically. Autistic individuals often experience differences in what psychologists call the theory of mind. And that's the ability to intuitively grasp what others are thinking or feeling. It's not about a lack of empathy, that's a persistent and harmful myth, but it's rather a difference in how social data gets processed. Since autistic individuals may not automatically read the emotional or social cues of others, they often learn how to behave in social situations by observing and imitating. Mirroring becomes a form of compensatory learning, not unlike learning a second language through immersion. Social interactions are cognitively demanding for autistic individuals. There's sensory input to manage, nonverbal cues to decode, rules to follow, and responses to generate. All of this happening in real time. Mirroring simplifies it. If you copy the tone, posture, or wording of someone else, it reduces the decision-making and lessens the chance of social errors. Think of it as an emergency backup script when the social stage gets a bit overwhelming. But here's where it gets a bit profound. Repeated mirroring, especially from a young age, can blur the lines between self and others. Many autistic people report reaching adulthood without a solid sense of who they are because they've spent their lives constructing personalities around what others expect. It's important to note that this isn't a manipulation, it's adaptive survival in a world that often punishes difference, sometimes quite subtly, sometimes quite violently. Mirroring doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's deeply influenced by trauma, social rejection, and neurotypical social hierarchies. Many autistic people have heightened sensitivity to rejection. It isn't because they're fragile, but because they've often faced chronic invalidation, bullying, or social confusing. Mirroring becomes a way to avoid standing out, to dodge the social landmines, and preemptively reduce the risk of being rejected. Some autistic individuals develop fawning behaviors, a trauma response where the safest way to exist in a relationship or community is to be exactly what others want. This can become so ingrained that they don't even realize they're doing it. Mirroring is often the first stage of this, adapting tone, language, interests, even opinions. It's protective, but it's also exhausting, and over time, it can lead to burnout, identity loss, and profound emotional distress. Here's the kicker. Autistic individuals who mirror well are often the ones who get overlooked the most, especially in women or non-binary people. They're too social to be autistic, or too emotionally aware, because they've become expert chameleons. What's happening behind the mask is often a storm of anxiety, dysregulation, or performance fatigue. In this way, mirroring can contribute to delayed or misdiagnosis. That's not a small issue. These individuals often reach crisis points, mental health breakdowns, misdiagnosed personality disorders, even suicidal ideation before someone finally sees past the mask. When mirroring stops, often in burnout, or sensory overwhelm, or emotional distress, it can feel catastrophic. People around the autistic individual may react with confusion, disappointment, or even rejection, saying things like, "This isn't like you." Except, it is like them. That's who they've always been underneath the mirror. And this is where the deep emotional toll of mirroring becomes clear. When your relationships are built on a projected version of yourself, it's hard to know which connections are real and which ones were only ever contingent on your performance.
At this midpoint, I hope it's become very clear that I put an awful lot of time and research into some of these posts. If you or someone you may know may benefit from the insights shared within this episode, please like, subscribe, share it around.
So, what's the path forward? There's four key pillars to moving forward. The first one being recognition, understanding that mirroring is a form of trauma-informed adaptations. It's not deception or manipulation. The second being safe spaces. Autistic people need environments where they can drop the mask without consequence, not just socially, but professionally and relationally. I'm lucky enough to have a few friends that I can just sit in silence with, and I don't have any expectations placed upon me on a way that I need to act, behave, speak, or think. And that's what I mean by a safe space. The third pillar being therapeutic support. The work with neurodivergent affirming therapists can help unpack the layers of masking and rebuild a sense of authentic identity. And the final one being a cultural shift. The burden shouldn't be placed on autistic people to constantly adapt. We need more neurodiverse informed communities, systems, and workplaces that value difference, not merely tolerate it. Mirroring, as we've discussed, is often a well-honed skill, a subconscious effort to adapt, belong, and reduce social friction. But here's where things can take a darker turn. What begins as a form of self-protection can become a silent gateway to exploitation. Autistic individuals who rely heavily on mirroring to navigate the world may find themselves caught in deeply one-sided, unhealthy, or abusive relationships. Personal, professional, or romantic. Why? Because mirroring doesn't just reflect others, it often suppresses self. It erodes your boundaries. When you're used to adapting your behavior to please other people, often from a younger age, you may lose the ability to detect when your own boundaries are being crossed. If someone treats you poorly, but you're mirroring their tone or mannerisms to maintain peace or connection, your internal alarm bells get muted. Over time, this can make it hard to identify what feels wrong. The abuse becomes familiar, and familiarity can feel like safety, especially if trauma has already taught you to equate suffering with connection. While autistic people are often stereotyped as lacking empathy, a myth that I am trying to bury forever, many actually experience hyper-empathy, particularly towards others in distress or approval. They may detect emotional shifts before others notice them and mirror the emotional cues as a way to smooth tension or preempt conflict. And this sensitivity becomes a weapon in the hands of manipulators, abusers, particularly those with narcissistic traits. They're skilled at seeking out people who prioritize their needs, downplay their own discomfort, and accept blame that isn't theirs. And someone who mirroring, they become the perfect emotional echo chamber, someone who agrees, adapts, soothes, and doesn't push back. It's a perfect storm. When mirroring becomes a default setting, especially in emotionally charged relationships, it can create a false sense of intimacy. The autistic individual might feel safe and connected, but not because the relationship is healthy, but because they've unconsciously reconstructed themselves around that person. This becomes especially dangerous when that connection is paired with isolation. A manipulative partner or friend may use subtle tactics like guilt, gaslighting, or love bombing to discourage other connections, positioning themselves as the only person who truly gets the autistic person. That's not love. It's control. Here's the gut punch. When someone finally shows what appears to be understanding or connection, especially after years of social struggle or loneliness, the desire to hold on to that can be overwhelming. So even if the red flags start appearing, the autistic person may mirror more intensely. Not to manipulate, but because they're desperately trying to keep a connection alive. And if they eventually realize they were manipulated, the emotional fallout can be catastrophic. The guilt, the shame, the self-blame, even a full collapse of identity. Because it's not just the relationship that's shattered, it's the version of themselves that they created to survive it. That story sounds familiar. Understanding this vulnerability isn't about shaming autistic people. It's about honoring their resilience and helping them spot the traps that are often hidden under the guise of affection or friendship. So what does healing look like? Again, let's think of it as four pillars. The first being therapeutic deconstruction. So you need to unpack where the mirroring became a coping strategy and gently relearn where you begin and others end. The second being affirming identity. And that's rediscovering what you look like, believe and value, without someone else's reflection dictating how you shape yourself. Third one, perhaps the most important, is learning how to say no, even when it feels terrifying, even when the world teaches you that no is what makes people leave. And the final being community support, finding spaces that are neurodivergent-led or trauma-informed, where you are not expected to perform or mirror, just simply be. I guess, in conclusion, mirroring can be a beautiful, intricate dance, but when it's driven by fear and not authenticity, it becomes a cage dressed as safety. Those who master it, well, they often become invisible in plain sight. Autistic people don't need to be fixed. The system that punishes difference and rewards performance does. When we understand that, we stop asking autistic people why they keep ending up in harmful relationships, and we start asking what we can do to help them feel safe in their own skin, without needing to become someone else just to be loved. Mirroring in autism isn't a footnote. It is a core theme in the story of how neurodivergent people survive and navigate a world that was not built with them in mind. If you see someone who always seems to agree with everyone, laugh at the right times, or blend seamlessly into every social group, don't assume that they're fine. They might be mirroring, and they might be exhausted. The goal isn't to fix mirroring, it's to understand it, honor it, and help create a world where people don't have to contort themselves to just be accepted. Because real belonging is where the mask ends.
Thanks for listening to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. If this episode resonated, follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from, share it with someone you care about, or leave a review. It all helps more than you know. Until next time, be kind to yourselves.